Hello, Dakota Territory. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to the journey we call Dakota. Trails and tales. Jump on in the Luce Tales Food Link Chuck Wagon. Then we will tool the region, the country, the globe. We will look at the news stories of the day. But at the end of the journey, it is going to be up to you to determine how and if this information might actually affect us living in a little piece of heaven. I don't say that lightly, a little piece of heaven. I love the Dakotas, North, South Dakota. And at one point in time, before we moved back to Nebraska, Kelly and I thought about moving to North Dakota, looked at places, seriously considered it. That was when we left the Rosebud Indian Reservation in South Dakota. It was 5 years, the most interesting time in my life. Wouldn't change a moment of it. Would still love to be ranching in Millette County, South Dakota. We left simply because we felt that our three daughters at that time, two, needed to grow up in the shadows and close to grandparents. That's why we moved to Loup City, Nebraska. I fondly remember most of the experiences in South Dakota on the Rosebud Reservation. I went to tribal meetings. I was employed the short time of my life that I've been employed, 2 years, for the Bell family from Wahpeton, North Dakota, as they built a hog facility. I was hired to interview and teach tribal members to raise pigs. I interviewed 130-some individuals for ultimately 18 positions, and I started doing that mainly because it was such an educational endeavor for myself to see the culture of the Lakota Sioux and see what had happened to them. I can say what had happened to them because at the time that we moved to Norris, South Dakota, the unemployment rate on the Rosebud Reservation was 87%. The lack of pride, the lack of hope, I had never experienced before in my life. I did not grow up in a multicultural community, very much white European influence in my entire life. So this was very interesting for me. And it allows me, I believe, to speak about this topic with some degree of credibility because I've been there, done that. I want to take our girls, maybe this year yet, to one of the Indian powwows on the Rosebud Casino. White River has a phenomenal powwow. And for those that have not witnessed it, it is the greatest display of pride and patriotism that you can find in the United States. It is tremendous. You show me a tribal member, I can speak to the Rosebud Sioux. You show me a tribal member of the Burnt Thigh Nation, and I'll show you one that has a tremendous amount of pride and thought process about the heritage of the tribal culture. You show me a veteran who's a tribal member, and I'll show you someone that's just as patriotic for the United States as anybody you can find. The problem on the reservation is that other than that day of the Indian powwow celebrating the historical heritage of the Indian people, it's a glim, it's a bleak environment. It's an environment where the people that I talked to did not think about tomorrow. I did not think about the goals of their life and what they want to accomplish. It was all about what do I need today. I'm sharing these thoughts with you today because of the heightened awareness of what is happening near the Standing Rock Reservation. Maybe it's on it, Cannonball, North Dakota, as the construction for the Dakota Access Pipeline has begun. The latest reports that I have is that highways are being closed. 1,000 protesters are on the scene. And as much as I am all about exercising your voice and your right to be heard and the right to protest, this is going astray. It's going astray because, as I'm told, people are being bussed in from everywhere to take part in this endeavor. And I see people who are weighing in on the equation is that first we slaughtered their people, then we put them on reservations, and then we pollute their land with pipelines. Folks, have you looked at a pipeline map of the United States currently? These are pretty good. There's a pipeline running under your house, and I don't care where you live. Pipelines have built this nation to be what they are. And while there is a rare occurrence of some faulty construction or some problem, it is rare. It's newsworthy because it never happens. I have a belief in the system that they build these pipelines to protect the environment unlike any point in time in our nation's history. But more importantly, for somebody to say that the situation that exists on the reservations today is because of treaties that were broken in the late 1800s, is because of the slaughter of the Indians and the consolidating them to the reservation is somehow my fault. Born in 1966, living in 2016, is no different than telling me that some white guy owned a slave in 1840, so I should feel guilty. I do not feel guilty for the situation that the American Indians currently live under in the reservation. If you've been to a reservation, you know that this is the most common expressed sentiment about life on a reservation today. It is their own fault because they're like a barrel of monkeys. And the minute that somebody tries to make a way for themselves outside of the reservation or even on the reservation, the monkeys pull you back into the barrel because there's this desire to make sure that nobody excels. If you believe that socialism is a good thing, find a reservation in the Dakotas and go there. I can find the amounts of money that have been funneled into reservations all across this country, plus there's 564 of them, by the way, 233 of which have casinos, which then spreads money to the people. And what do they do with the money? Nothing. More importantly, the two-class society that exists on reservations has led to the haves and the have-nots. Because my time spent with folks on the Rosebud, I learned that there are a select few that truly care about the people, and most of them do not want the general population, general citizens of the reservation to excel, because then those in power lose their power. We're at a time in this country where we need to make a choice. Do we want a two-class society that has been allowed to foster and flourish on our nation's reservations? Or do we want the capitalistic entrepreneurial spirit that built the United States with multi-class people working towards a common goal of improving lives for American citizens? It's not just about a pipeline, folks, being built in the Dakotas, taking energy from the Dakotas, the Bakken, to Illinois. It's about deciding what the future of the United States of America will look like. I personally do not want it to look like an Indian reservation that exists in this country. I want it to look like a group of people who are working, who are providing a common good to mankind, and creating a better path for the next generation. Dakota Trails and Tales, I'm Trent Luce. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Troy Hadrick and talk about one example of that entrepreneurial spirit in marketing high quality beef to the world when Dakota Trails and Tales continues after this.